Tour junkies. Oh, dang. Producer Tony, that slaps. Gosh, dang. He surprised us with that there for the
man. Open. I never knew that day would create so much content.
If that's all we do with AI, like it's done. There's nowhere else we can go. I love it.
AI form.
If that's the only thing the aliens get out of AI, they're probably happy campers now.
Skynet can launch the nukes. We can just end it all. We're good.
That's great work there, Tony. It just lined up so well, too.
It really did.
I don't even know what that video is. I don't even really know what it is. I just know
that it
started going viral and people were doing it with anybody. And I know it's AI generated, but was that an actual video or I don't even know the origin.
I just assume something like that is just Coachella. So I just say, it's a guy from Coachella. And then Pat at Coachella.
I think I looked it up. It's like Lil Yacht or something. Lil Yachty.
Lil Yachty.
I think it's Lil Yachty.
Lil Yacht is what you see when you're walking down Harbor Town and you walk and you go, dang, look at that one. Look at that. Oh, look at that little yacht. You know, it's a little smaller than the others. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a good one. Listen, welcome to the first episode of the Bump and Run in quite some time. This is episode 9. Did I get it?
9.5, because we started recording 9, or we were going to, and then you had your modem issues, DB.
Yeah.
So we never posted anything.
Hang on. I noticed when I was coming into the studio that Tony put in episode 9, and you should have done that, Tony, if you wanted him to guess. It said episode 9.
What's funny is I did not notice that until you just said it. I swear to you that was a guess. I promise. It was a total guess.
Well, that was a good guess. It worked out.
It felt kind of nine-ish. Yeah. And if you don't know what the Bump and Run is, if you stumbled upon us during Masters Week doing a DFS or betting show or God knows all the other shows we did, this is the show that we just talk about random stuff in golf that is not betting in DFS. So we just have fun. That's it. This is all about having some fun. So we're going to keep it crisp and try to keep it crisp today. And we've got our topics here on the right, presented to you by our friends at Swannies. Thank you to Swannies for hooking us up. They hooked up a bunch of people Masters Week with some fresh drip. Code TJ25 gets you 25% off your entire order all the time at Swannies.co. So if you want to look like a golfer, even if you aren't one, you want to wear a nice polo, have some nice shorts, there's some joggers, and it's all breathable. It's environmentally conscious, I think, made. Greta Van Thunberg would approve. It was, you know, it's birthed out of the United States of America. They ship to the U.S. and Canada. Great people, family-owned business, but putting out some great products since 2015, and just good people. So code TJ25, Swannies.co. Link is in the description. Tony, first topic.
Let's get right into it. I know we're 4 days past it now, but we're going to throw it at you. I want to hear from you guys on just let's go with an overall Masters recap. We had a ton of storylines. We didn't really have the exciting finish that everybody wanted that we thought we might had with Scotty, with Max, with Ludwig, Morikawa up at the top of the leaderboard. Didn't really have that exciting finish that we were looking for. We haven't really had one in a while. But there were certainly a ton of storylines, a few that I just took away, jotted down here, and then I'll open up the floor. Pat, I'll throw it out to you first. Scotty wins his second green jacket. We had Ludwig in his first major, but first Masters as well, shine with a solo second. We had Vern Lundquist's final Masters. We had the meme that come out with Tiger shaking the tree's hand and Vern's just stocky forearm coming out of that tree. Which is some good stuff. Tiger DFL, I think plus 16 is what he finished. The amateur Neil Shipley making the cut, the only amateur to make the cut, and then several viral memes that he's had now. And then I wanted to ask you guys this beforehand. Maybe we've got it. Maybe we've got some time for it. But just what it's like living in Augusta, when it's not Masters, leading up to the Masters. Get your guys' perspective on that, because I think that's a unique take. So, Pat, I'll open up the floor to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always a good Masters. I know there were some moments that the viewership was down, and that's potentially a whole another subject to talk about. But I think things did actually kind of pan out a little bit like we thought. I mean, Scotty was the favorite, so he won, right? There was talk that Ludwig could easily be the first-timer to win since Fuzzy Zeller, and he finished second. So, you know, a lot of things I think did actually kind of pan out how we thought they might. It was interesting to me. I mean, you know, Sunday at the Masters is always fantastic. They always say it doesn't really get started to the back nine, but it was almost like a NASCAR race, like the Daytona 500. And the big wreck happened, and it happened right behind Scotty. And everybody just goes flying off to the side into the railing, and then there goes Scotty taking off with the win. That's kind of what it felt like to me, because they were all tight. They were all right there together, and then boom, it's over. Scotty wins his second green jacket. But I always enjoy watching it. I think it was good. Scotty's just the best golfer in the world right now. I mean, I think he's going to win multiple majors. I could see him getting to, you know, somewhere in that 6-7 range, you know, higher than where Brooks is. I mean, who's got the most active majors right now besides Brooks? Now, outside, like, not Tiger.
It's Brooks.
Brooks, yeah.
So I think Scotty could pass Brooks within the next few years easily.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought the Augusta National was flawless. I thought Scotty was not, you can't be flawless, but was exceptionally good.
Yeah.
The tournament itself on Sunday was a letdown. You know, it was just the front nine was exciting. I will say that it did all start to kind of crumble at 11. And the last couple hours we were just all sitting around waiting on the crowning. And it's just a little bit of a letdown, because I want the exciting, you know, second nine at Augusta on Sunday to be electric, and it just wasn't. So, no. But you know, it never ceases to amaze me how many weird and funny things we get at Augusta, though, because aside from the golf, there's just so many little things that when you start adding it all up, just every year we get stuff. You know, last year was the trees almost killing people, which was not funny, but there's just stuff that happens. This year with the Vern thing and the arm out of this tree, I just can't stop laughing at some of the things that have been said about that. And I'll be out, when I first saw the photo of it online, I didn't see it happen, but I saw the photo. I thought it was fake. Like, I thought people were making it up. But
wait, I'm reacting to this.
You haven't seen it?
I've seen it, but I thought it was fake. That's Vern. That's Vern shaking Tiger's hand.
Vern, before Vern got up into the booth to do his last broadcast at Augusta, he met Tiger. He hid behind one of the trees on 16, between 16 and 17, and waited for him. And then when he walked by, they had the exchange, like Vern saying, like, "Hey Tiger, hey man, I'm on the way out after this," you know.
Yeah.
And the angle of Vern's hand just coming out the tree is just it's hilarious. But you had that. You had the Zach Johnson thing that me and Gutsy went all in on the other day on the So Bet show. We don't have to do all that, but I don't know if it's like because there's cameras literally everywhere and microphones that we get additional content that we don't normally get. And then you have Butler Cabin is just awkward. I mean,
I wish they would stop that. Just
I do too. Like, I guess not stop it, because now, like, but you have to go to Butler Cabin. We have to see Butler Cabin. You know what I mean? We have to be in Butler Cabin. But something has to be different about how it's done in there.
Yeah, it's not. It's very awkward. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's been awkward for 50 years or however long they've done this in Butler Cabin.
Oh,
I mean, I know it was 88 Masters, but I don't know if they've done it for that long. But
have you ever gone? I did this a few years back. I did this one day. I actually remember doing this at a real job when it was like the slowest Friday before the Masters, and I just couldn't wait, you know? And I'm not kidding you. I spent 6 hours at my laptop because the National has every, like, they have like all these old Butler Cabin interviews on their YouTube page. And I watched every minute looking for awkward interactions. And they're there every year. But they used to be a little more, I mean, they were abrupt and I don't know. Like, it just, like, look at poor Neil. But you know what, though? Neil's turned, he's parlayed this into something nice. Like, he was on the Pat McAfee show cracking up about it. Pat McAfee, I think, said that, you know, that it was that right eye's time to shine or something. He had a couple funny lines about it. But yeah, they, I don't know.
How are you? How have you not brought up Bryson carrying the sign, picking up the sign?
Okay, I still don't know why that happened. Do we
I don't either. I don't understand it. I don't know why anybody needs to pick up a sign and like carry it around like that.
And why? Who?
Why is his caddy not doing it either? Like, why is that
playing in the tournament? It is a real tournament. You're a competitor. Like, what do you think that sign weighs? I mean, it's, you know, like, Bryce is an in shape guy, but we all know, you know, one subtle move and you tweak a back.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Also, imagine that the Augusta National has signs that are that easy to get out of the ground.
Well, they take them out. They take them out every time. They don't leave them all year.
But still, it looked like
I can't believe Augusta National let him do that. Like, I bet you he got reprimanded for that.
He probably did.
You, and then you had the Augusta National telling Jason Day to take his cigarette box sweater off from Malbon. That was awesome. Like, we just get so much content out of Augusta every year, and it blows my mind because it. You think, like, this is so predictable. The Masters is so predictable. It's gonna be it's gonna be electric. We're gonna have the roars. The production value is incredible. We know the golf course. We know what is going to happen. It always feels predictable. I mean, obviously, you're trying to figure out who's gonna win all that. But everything else feels so predictable. And then every year, just chaos.
Yeah.
I wish I did it. I found myself listening to the Shotgun Start. I was listening to Andy and Brendan on the Shotgun Start recap the Masters. And they do this thing where they're on ground for media and they take a physical notebook because they don't have their phone. They take a physical notebook with them all week and they just write down funny stuff that happens or that they see or whatever. And I think that's a brilliant idea. But even as a fan or whatever, like, if you just kept a notebook of even just every little thing that happens at Augusta every freaking year that is funny or just off or weird or, you know, you actually be surprised how much you'd have on the paper, you know?
Oh, I bet even outside the gates.
Yeah,
I mean, we've seen people with a whole golf bag on their back trying to get into the National.
It's been a while, but yeah.
I mean, so.
Yeah.
EB, do you think that's because of just when you think of, or at least when I think of Augusta and I think of the Masters, like, I just think perfection. So if there's anything out of the ordinary, like, you know, day shirt or just something really little like that, like Neil Shipley in the press conference when the reporter asks him about it and he just looks over at the green jacket and then back. Do you think that's just because in our minds, it's when you think of Augusta, it's just perfect? So everything is like amplified. Every little teeny tiny thing is amplified. I mean, you hear the stories of like, okay, you know, the painting the grass, you know, that kind of stuff. Just
maybe subconsciously you're just like, because I will say too, sometimes when you're out there, if you've gone out there enough, you're almost looking for something to be out of place, out of whack, not thought of, you know, like, oh, they could do that better. Found something, you know? So where's Waldo out there? And the Waldo just happens to be like, what did they not think of? So yeah, maybe as a viewer, that's part of it. But I also think a lot of it's just everything is recorded. There are cameras everywhere. There are photographers everywhere. There are people documenting every move made by everyone out there all the time. So I don't know. It's fun.
Well, it was a good Masters nonetheless. Excited for the next major here in a couple weeks. But with that, we'll go on to our next topic, fellas. I wanted to throw this one out to you. DB, I'll tee it up to you first. So there was some chatter last week, one from Phil. I believe John Rahm had mentioned it as well in one of his press conference that Liv possibly may be going to 72 holes at some point in the future. That Phil said he wouldn't be surprised if some or all of the events would go to 72 holes for LIV. And then our boy Taylor Gooch today, I think yesterday, came out and said that he believes that 54 holes is the perfect amount of holes to keep golf exciting. He said 72 holes is just an arbitrary number. He said, why is it not 90? Why is it not 108 holes for a tournament? He believes that 54 holes is exactly where it's at. So DB, let me throw it out to you. For a golf tournament, a professional golf tournament that you are watching, that you are betting on, what do you think? Do you think 54 holes, maybe shorten an event? You think that excites people? Excites people a little bit more than having to wait out the 4 days. What do you think?
I got a few things here. And listen, Taylor Gooch has said some things. There is no doubt his name could not be found on the Dean's list at Oklahoma State University. However, I agree with him in part. 54 holes. Okay. I think 72 holes is arbitrary. I don't know the meaning. I don't know the reason we ever ended up on 72 holes in the game of golf. But listen, the game of golf has evolved for hundreds of years. You know, me and Pat went to Scotland a couple years ago. Like, when they invented the game, it was played differently than it's played now. It continues to evolve. And I don't know where 72 holes for tournament golf came from, but it is kind of arbitrary. Like, what? And I get, and I think the argument, part of the argument is it needs to be, what? What are you laughing at?
That's just go ahead here.
But what?
I mean, yeah, 54 holes or 72 holes is arbitrary. Guess what else is arbitrary? 9 innings in baseball, one of the oldest sports in the world. 4 quarters in football.
Yes.
2 halves in soccer. Like, all of them have arbitrary numbers that,
yeah,
like, you kind of like, so
but then why does it,
why can't 72 holes be the thing? That's always been the thing.
It could be, but what if another league with a lot of great golfers in it wants to not play 72 holes, but feels like there should be a ranking? They should be given ranking points despite not playing the arbitrary as hell 72 holes that are played by the other league that's also arbitrary.
If you if you had baseball players that played 6 innings versus 9 innings, where there's 3 extra innings, that anything could happen. And, you know, so-and-so baseball player is better at getting home runs. And
what if you had a second league, new league that started up and they wanted to play 12 innings? And then they said, well, actually, the 12 innings shows that we're better. Like, it is arbitrary. I'm just saying, and I do agree that the more you play, in theory, it should make sense that the better players will separate themselves and you will get better winners, better leaderboards. I would think for the most part on a average to difficult golf course, I think that's what happens. So all that aside, here's what I do think. If Phil and John Rahm are willing to say that during Masters Week with all eyes on them and on LIV and everybody's eyes on them, then I think that is signal that that's already coming. It's probably not going to come this year, but I bet it is signal that it's already been determined. I wouldn't be surprised if in John Rahm's negotiation, he said, we are going to play 72 holes starting 2025, or I'm not signing. And LIV changed it. And this is what I talked about this with Gutsy, I think, this week. And I've said this a bunch of times in talking about stuff LIV does, is we have to credit them for being rather nimble. They have started this thing. It is a startup, and just like any startup, it starts one way and you evolve and you adapt quickly to survive, to make better, to compete, to whatever that may be, until you kind of find the perfect gumbo, right? And, you know, they tried to sell us on 54 holes. Now they're perfectly within their right to change, and I admire that they're nimble. The PGA Tour should be more nimble. But, you know, and we don't need it like changing at every whim, but 72 holes is a thing that's been talked about since day one. And a lot of these guys every guy that's coming over is used to playing 72 holes. So I think that is for sure coming, or they wouldn't have said it. That's for sure.
I agree. I think it is probably coming at some point. You know, I think personally, I think 72 holes is a good number for golf. I think it separates, just like you said, it helps separate the competition. I think it helps allow for, you know, when you look at various, now I know LIV plays all at the same time, so they don't have waves because they have less players, right? But if you had, you know, 54 players or whatever it is playing a 72 hole event, you know, they're probably playing in some, if it's spread out long enough, you probably need more, you need it to be 72 holes to even the competition out. So in my mind, it's just, it's a good number the way it is, but you know, I mean, I think I agree with you on how they adapt. I mean, at least they're willing to do that and they're willing to adapt to various things that people are saying and want them to do to get the world, the ranking points. I mean, look, we want them to get the ranking points. I mean, I want these players to be in the majors that are some of the best in the world that aren't there, like a Taylor Gooch. Although Taylor Gooch is starting to become really annoying to me. When did he get to be so, like, he's like the Rory of LIV. Like, he has all these comments that he makes all the time, and like a LIV team competition is better than any Ryder Cup, all that kind of stuff. Just the most asinine thing I've ever heard. Like, when did Gooch become this? Like,
he's definitely gotten more vocal. I mean, we never felt like we heard anything from him until he went to LIV. And then yeah. I think he's kind of big fish in a little pond. You know, he goes on and wins three times on LIV last year. He's the LIV player of the year. He gets some jingle jangle in his pocket. He's, you know, strutting around, you know, like a peacock. And so I think that's opened him up a little bit.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. All right. Next topic. Is this about Pat?
You gotta let me fly, Captain. Is this one about Pat? So,
boys, I'm working two jobs. Okay, one so I can feed my family. Another so I can put my son through NYU so he can explore his sexuality and DJ on the weekends. Okay.
That doesn't sound at all like me, but. I haven't even seen these, I don't think, except for maybe one of them.
All right. Well, I got the first one for you, Pat. Unlike the guy who's giving unsolicited advice, I don't see you being this guy. So we'll play the video and we'll react on the back end.
I'm a mad motherfucker right now.
I know, I bet. I have Windows too.
Yeah. What's your name?
Vitaly.
All right, Vitaly. You owe me $681. I'm goddamn madder than shit. You can't hit this goddamn thing. It's 200 yards wide, and you're hitting houses.
Slice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're sorry? I'm out of window. Go to the next hole.
I haven't hit yet.
Yeah, I haven't
hit it.
Okay.
this is the one I have seen.
It's a second video. Yeah, it's a little longer. Well, you can go to the Twitter. You can find it. There's a second video where he's standing there waiting for the guy to hit. And it is one of the guys in the videos in the film mentions it. That's the most pressure you would ever have. A guy whose house, a window you just broke, and now he's standing right there watching you hit. Oh my goodness. But
Andy's madder than hell with a
guy. Madder than hell. I mean, there's a lot that I can appreciate about this.
Yeah,
man.
I was just about to say, first of all, that is Pat in like 25 years. Okay, I want to point out to the people, what kind of shirt is that he's wearing?
What is it?
That's a master shirt. I could guarantee that's a master shirt.
I mean, Pat,
as a plethora of master
and
shirts.
He's got a little bit of a southern accent, obviously.
He's got a southern accent. Pat wears like high to mid ankle white socks with tennis shoes. I can tell you that all the time.
My socks are low.
He would just be retired, sitting around his house wearing, you know, baggier than usual shorts with his Sansa belt, leather belt, and his Masters polo tucked in, just sitting in, minding his business at home, retired. That is exactly what Pat would do in 25 years.
I don't know.
Out there and explode on everybody.
Some of that's true. Some of it's not. I mean,
so what is
first
it that
off,
you could
personally, I would not explode anybody for hitting my window because you live on a golf course. You got to understand, if you live on a golf course, this is what happens. Here's the thing I can appreciate, though. That he just goes out there, and he also calls them out for like when he says this is a 200 yard fairway and you can't hit this fairway like that, I appreciate that, you know, a little bit. I think that's actually kind of funny. And, you know, the fact that he knew that the window cost $681.
That's also where you're not like him, because you would never throw out an odd number. You'd be like, this win that damn. But listen, it would cost $681. As it was coming out your mouth, you'd be like, that damn window cost $681. $2. Because you would catch yourself saying the odd number and be like, no, I can't say the odd number.
Obviously, though, this has happened to him many times before, because he knows he knows what the estimate is. So he's, I mean, the my favorite part is just the random hitting the golf club on the tire thing. I mean, that's pretty funny. And then when he's rushing the guy to hit it, that's kind of funny too. So
I would love to be a fly on the wall when he gets when the video is sent to the club and he gets a letter from, you know, HOA or the club explaining that his actions were unbecoming, and you know, I bet he loses it there too.
How would you guys handle that? Whether it's an older dude like this or maybe a younger guy, I feel like we've seen just this reaction on golf courses a lot more over the last couple years. Whether that's the influx of people playing golf from COVID or just, you know, camera phones, probably a number of different reasons. But throw yourselves in the golfer's shoes here. How are you handling a 70, 80-year-old dude like this? Are you yelling back? Are you smacking it? Like, how would you guys handle it?
Pretty differently.
I think we'd probably handle it a little different. I don't know if I would smack, like, talk back to him. I'd probably be getting on the guy that I'm playing with it to slice one into his
back. No, you would not. No, you would not. Pat would be freaking pissed off and bowing up at the old man. Telling him to shut up. Yes, you would. You would be going off on this guy. No. Yes, you would.
This happened to me, and I didn't go off on the guy. This has happened to me literally like in the last year.
Okay. I don't believe that. You've gone.
I wasn't the one he was yelling at. It was somebody else in the group that hit a house, and that other guy had exchanges with the old man. I was just kind of sitting there. So I guess the only way I could say, since I have actually been in the situation, was I just kind of sat there and watched because I thought it was funny as shit. So, what would you do? So you're like Mr. Saint. Would you be like, sorry, Mr. Old Man. Sorry, sir.
No.
Listen, I was getting lessons last week. I would blame the pro. That's what you would do. You'd be like, listen, I got to blame my pro. Because he's obviously not teaching me the right thing,
dude. If I were to rank myself, at least I can only rank myself in my own club because I'm around those people. I am number one at my club at tactfully, respectfully ish, but like I am number one at tactfully towing the line at throwing shade at our head pro publicly in front of people. I am so good.
Oh, yeah,
I do it on the range. I do it on the course, and he will say something and I'll say something back and pop off about how he's effed me up for the last 3 years. And I can deliver it. So actually, Pat, that's a great idea. Like that would be something I would keep in the chamber if this happened to me. I'd be like,
Why don't I give you his number?
Let's FaceTime Mike Reimer right now. Let me FaceTime Mike. Let's talk about this. Mike, this is a 200-yard. Is it 200-yard, sir? Yes, he said 200-yard wide fairway, and he lives 50 yards off of that wide fairway, and I have sliced a drive, and he says that I'm sorry at golf, and I've sliced a drive into this man's window. $681. How many lessons is that from you worth of lessons? I would not apologize. Like, I don't think you can. I mean, I would say, like, look, man, I'm sorry it happened, but like, yeah, I don't. You live on a golf. You assume that risk. So I don't know. Like, hey, old man, if you can figure out Venmo, invoice me. We'll see what happens. You know, I don't know. Otherwise, I'm going to hit this shot and I'm going to drive past you and move on. But if you want to keep following me around, I'll make some great content.
Go kick some rocks.
Speaking of great,
that's probably why he's got the club anyway. He's probably in his backyard, you know, hitting pine cones around, something like that, you know.
Speaking of great content, I think we move to the next topic here, Tony.
I agree, DB. I'm just going to tee this up and then let you go because you've made a TikTok that you posted a couple different places too. So I know we've got some ideas workshopping on how maybe we can kind of enhance this, but I'll just read the first headline here and then I'll let you take it, DB. It says, man charged for transporting stolen items from the Masters. A man has been charged in a federal court of Illinois in the transport of millions of dollars worth of Masters merchandise and memorabilia stolen from Augusta National in Georgia. DB, I would like you to fill us in on the gnome, how he was using this gnome, some of the other details with this.
Guys, first of all, the story continues to develop. I am staying on it. In fact, Tony, I'm sending you a screenshot right now of an updated little bit of intel. We'll see if you can quickly, you can bring this up quickly. I just texted it to you. So I've got a Champion Retreat members text thread that went wild on this yesterday because this guy used to live in Champion Retreat. A very nice house behind the gate. In fact, a member in my text thread found the listing, his Zillow listing, from when this house was sold. Because when he got fired from Augusta National and probably knew possibly that one day he could get a knock on the door with some sort of court appearance being demanded, he listed his house for sale and he moved to Florida. The house sold in October 2023, and someone in the group text yesterday shared the Zillow listing, and I have found a single picture that I'm pulling out. Now, the house is amazing. It sold for $2 million, and in Augusta, that's a big house. But picture number 16 on the Zillow listing is the office. And if you just, you know, not technology doesn't allow us to, like, zoom in, but I can tell you that there's a lot of teddy bears, there's a couple gnomes, there's a lot of Masters memorabilia in that their office, buddy.
Yes, there are.
Anyway, it was just kind of funny to see that yesterday. Also, going down the rabbit hole of my TikTok video that I did yesterday on Tour Junkies TikTok, of a lot of comments, I encourage you to click through the comments. I'm not a big, like, comments reader on TikTok or Instagram. My wife, huge comments reader. Like, she doesn't watch a video that she loves without clicking on the comments. Sometimes the comments are just as funny. There's been some great comments on my TikTok video. One guy said, if your wife came home with a gnome on a day she did not attend Augusta National, lawyer up, you know, because this guy was allegedly, this is the rumor, the story drops Monday. A local Augusta radio host posted something about it on his Facebook page, then adds an edit that now multiple women are coming out allegedly and saying that Brandon Glabinski, the perpetrator here potentially, leveraged his access to Augusta National gnomes as for flirtation.
An aphrodisiac.
The gnomes were flirtation devices. Yeah, an aphrodisiac.
Who knew the gnomes had that kind of power?
A little dome for a gnome, mama, if you want it. Come on, huh? But this dude, so the guy's like, if your wife came home with a gnome on some random Thursday in like May, you know, it was like, look what I got. And you know, now you're like, oh, well, damn, how'd you get that thing? You were at the swimming pool all day. Well, it's probably because Brandon pulled up to the neighborhood pool with that cougar bait and found what he wanted and said, mama, come on over here and look what I got in the golf cart, and showed you an boxed, unopened gnome. You know, now for an unopened gnome, I'd imagine you get a lot of action. If you got one already opened out of the box, you might only get a little, you know, maybe it's just a little bit, but. Wild stuff to think about. My imagination has been running for the last 24 hours on the ways this guy could have possibly done it. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to figure out a way to make this my Halloween costume for October.
Yeah, I think you should.
You know, was he sending Snapchats of his naked body with just a, an unopened gnome box over his stocking walls. Like, hey, girl, you know, he is married, which is a shame. You know, infidelity is no good. Or if you're trying to do something strange with somebody else, I don't endorse it. But, you know, he was doing something. He was using it somehow. And there's some.
I mean, maybe it was like a gnome for a gnome. Like he'd give his wife, he'd be like, look, here's the gnome, but I'm going to go do some other things with the other gnomes.
Oh, you think she, well,
they had an open gnome relationship.
Well, you know what I learned is apparently gnomes in the yard are a symbol in the swingers community.
Okay. See there now the plot thickens.
Tony's shaking his head. Tony, do you have a gnome in your yard?
No gnomes, but when we were traveling in our RV, it was, I never heard the gnome thing, but it was pineapple.
Yeah.
First. And it was flamingos. If you had those, either one of those or a combination of them meant a variety of different things, but yeah, the gnome swingers. Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know that to be a fact. But that's what I've heard. Anyway, this dude is now, I mean, the Augusta National fired him in 2022, knowing that they had enough grounds to fire him for stealing something. Then, basically, I do have a good source inside Augusta National that knows that said they built this case over the last 2 years investigating to what extent and how badly this happened. And it started in 2009. They built this case. They presented it to this federal, I don't know how the whole system works, but on a federal level got him now in federal court. Like they're going to put him under the prison. His ass is grass. Mm. And imagine being locked up and they'd be like, hey dog, what were you in here for? What you in here for? I stole millions of dollars worth of Augusta National yard gnomes and teddy bears. And, you know, I sold 8-ounce coffee mugs for $68 on a website that I had based out of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he would be the kind of guy though, that like would be in prison and then he would just be running everything because he would be doing the deals and he would be, you know, mixing with this group and
definitely the contraband yes. boss, right? Like all the contraband runs through. Yeah. He runs the store, you know.
Yeah. And he gets shanked.
Yeah.
Just a gnome.
But apparently they were living they were living in the lap of luxury in that house. And I don't know, you know, I mean, I don't know how much they were making with other like legitimate sources of income, but I mean, if you think about it, even at Augusta National, like if you think about it and you're upselling it like that, $1 million in stolen merch. This was family dinner conversation for the Barnetts last night. All five of us were sitting around the table talking about this. $1 million worth of merch, even if you're gouging the crap out of people online for it, is a lot of merch to somehow get from Augusta, from the property to wherever it's going. Now, he worked in the merchandising department. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that would be... That'd be tough, especially from Augusta.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyway. I mean, fellas, the website that you had on there that he was funneling this stuff, it's still up. It's still offering Masters golf hats and visors. Check out our selection of bestsellers. $70 for a Masters green caddy hat.
I'm surprised that the Augusta National wouldn't even shut a site like that down immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, because you could do it on like eBay. I mean, that I didn't even know there would be a site that you could do it on other than like eBay.
Well, there's a guy that has a brick and mortar on Davis Road right off of Washington Road that has a store that you can buy Masters memorabilia. So I don't think it's illegal to sell it like that. I mean, and the National knows people are buying this stuff in bulk and then just putting it on eBay.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know.
Wild stuff. Listen, as the world turns, I will commit to weekly, as news comes out, I will commit to weekly or monthly updates on this because the Augusta town is buzzing with rumors. The rumor mills are swirling with this. It's fun to watch. And my source at Augusta has said that once everything is over in terms of in court, he's happy to share all details.
So, I mean, let me tell you something. Move over, move over Murdaugh family and bring in the Grabalskis.
Grabalskis, whatever. Good stuff, boys. Episode 9 of the Bump and Run is back. We're done. Thank you for watching. Next week, we got the Zurich Classic, which me and Pat really mailed it in on that week. If you thought we mailed it in this week, wait till you see us next week. But it is the best live event of the year globally, which is in Adelaide. So we'll cover the live event, probably do another Bump and Run episode as well, just for fun. Thanks for watching. Hit the like button, subscribe, comment, all that goodies, and check out swannies.co TJ25. See ya. Out.
Yep. Forgot about that.